G'day everybody and welcome to episode 2 of the Blind Test Drive podcast. My name's Damo and today we're going to be continuing our test drive of the Smart Vision 2 mobile phone from Capsys. If you haven't already listened to the previous podcast where I described the physical layout of the phone and some of its basic features, you might want to check that out first just so that you've got some context and so that some of the things that I talk about in this podcast will make more sense. Today, though, I want to specifically focus on the navigation system, the Captain navigation application built into this phone, because it is an excellent feature and something it does really well. You can, as I mentioned previously, use the Google Maps as well, but there are a number of advantages to using the Capsys application, not least of which is the fact that the maps download directly into the phone. Now, the nice thing about that is even if you're in an area where you have limited or no cellular reception, you can still access your maps. The downside, of course, of downloading the maps directly into the phone is that they're updated perhaps a little less frequently, and things like POI databases and so on are a little less up to date. However, the trade-off of that is that, as I said, you've got navigation regardless of your level of cellular reception. You know, if you've run out of data for the month or whatever, you can still navigate. So to get into the Captain application, I'm going to unlock the phone.
Device unlocked. Battery level 77% remaining.
And I'm going to go down to applications using the down arrow.
14:25, Sunday the 21st, applications.
And I'm going to press the OK or Enter button on that. Now I could scroll through the list of applications or I could just type K on the alphanumeric keypad, noting that it's Captain, K-A-P-T-E-N. Not C-A-P-T-A-I-N, as you might think. So I'm going to press K.
J, K.
And we hear that click, and then I can down arrow.
Applications. Captain.
There we go.
Captain.
And that saves us from having to scroll through all of the applications that we've got installed, which is quite handy. Now, a few seconds after the application starts up, it will hear it's a GPS signal OK, and it'll probably pick up the fact that I'm at home and I've got that set as a K tag.
K tag at 8 o'clock at 20 meters Station Street, Brisbane. GPS signal OK.
And there we go. It's done exactly that. When I say K-tag, some GPS systems, such as the Trekkers, used to call them a landmark, but it is essentially one and the same thing. So when we start the Captain application, we're presented with a menu, and I can arrow through that with the up or down arrow.
Enter the navigation mode. Pedestrian navigation.
So we've got pedestrian navigation. Obviously, it optimizes the route for walking, so it won't walk us over a motorway or a road bridge or that type of thing.
Car navigation.
Car navigation will.
Direct guidance.
Direct guidance is a method of navigating using clock directions. So it basically navigates as the crow flies and it'll give you a distance and heading. So it'll tell you that something is at 11 o'clock in 300 meters. That's kind of useful if you're traveling by train or bus where you're on, for instance, here in Brisbane, we have a busway, which doesn't necessarily follow the normal street map. All you really want to know is the distance and heading to your stop. You're not too worried about all of the cross streets. Likewise, if you're on the train, you don't necessarily want to know all of the streets that the train line goes over or under. You just want distance and heading to the station that you want. So that's where direct guidance comes in. It's also quite useful if you were trying to mark something like a building inside a school or college campus, something like that, or even a shed out in the middle of a paddock somewhere where you try to navigate through open space.
Map discovery.
Then we've got map discovery, and that's quite useful as well because what that allows you to do is to put in a starting point and you can then browse the map from that point.
Manage K-tag.
Manage K-tags, so we can add or delete our K-tags or landmarks that we've created.
Pedestrian track.
Pedestrian track, that allows you to record a route from point A to point B, regardless of which directions you follow on the street map. So if, for example, you were being taken sighted guide through a route for the first time, you could record that and then play it in either a forward or reverse direction at a future time. Most standalone GPSs, such as the earlier Captains and the Trekker, had that capability.
Free navigation, ticked, tick box.
We've also got a tick box here for free navigation, which we can turn on or off. And what that does, if we have free navigation turned on, we get announcement of cross streets and POIs, K-tags, your direction of travel, that sort of thing. So sometimes, if I haven't got a destination in mind, I'll just switch that on while I'm traveling around just so I can get a sense of what's around me. And you can control what POI announcements you get. So you can turn the different categories of POI on and off. So if you know you're going into a busy shopping mall or something like that, you may not want it burbling at you the whole time, announcing every shop that you go past. So you can switch that off. But if you're looking for a bank, for example, you might leave that category on to make it easy to find the thing that you're after. So let's now have a bit of a look at the map discovery, because that's something that I really like about this particular unit. So I'm going to select that from the menu.
Enter the navigation mode. Pedestrian navigation, car navigation, direct guidance, map discovery.
Now, we've got a menu here that allows us to select the starting point. So let's just have a quick look at that.
Reading the map starting from current position.
So I can look at it from the current position.
New address.
I can put in a new address and start reading the map from there.
New address by postal code.
I can do an address search via postal code.
Last destinations.
I can look at my last destinations and pick that one of those as the starting point.
K-tag.
Or obviously a K-tag.
POI.
Or a POI. If we'd selected POI, we could then drill down into the various categories and so on. So what I'm going to do is I'll put in a new address, and that way I can show you how the voice dictation works as well.
Reading the map starting from current position. New address.
So we'll go with new address.
Voice input.
So now I can either use voice input, or I can use the alphanumeric keypad to type in an address. So we'll try it with voice input. So if I press OK on voice input, and then I'll
vocal
use
vocal destination entry.
I can then use the voice command button to type in, let's just go with my work address, 373 Old Cleveland Road, Cooperoo.
Select from the list. Select from the list. Old Cleveland Road, Cooperoo, Australia.
Now, I've noticed that sometimes it doesn't read the number to me when I do it this way, but it does still seem to put me in the right spot. If there's a couple of things that it thinks it might be, it'll offer me two or three alternatives in the list and I can just arrow through them. But we'll pick this one by pressing the OK button, and then I can arrow down.
Map discovery. After 150 metres on Old Cleveland Road direction southwest, crossing with French Street full stop.
So I can either head southwest and head up to the intersection of Old Cleveland Road and French Street, or I can presumably go northeast if I arrow down.
After 370 metres, on Old Cleveland Road direction northeast, Leicester Street on the right.
So on this occasion, we're going to go to the intersection of Old Cleveland Road and French Street, so I'll press OK on that.
After 150 metres, on Old Cleveland Road direction southwest, crossing with French Street.
So let's have a look around this intersection, and I can do that by using the arrow keys, the up or down arrow.
Old Cleveland Road. After 150 metres, on Old Cleveland Road direction southwest, crossing with French Street full stop. At 6 o'clock, Old Cleveland Road.
So I can go back the way I came, which is would be 6 o'clock in the direction I'm facing.
At 9 o'clock, French Street.
Or I can turn left into French Street.
At 12 o'clock, Old Cleveland Road.
Or I can continue down Old Cleveland Road. So let's turn left into French Street. So I'll up arrow.
At 9 o'clock, French Street.
And we'll press OK. And then down arrow.
French Street. After 100 metres, on French Street direction northwest, crossing with Kitchener Street full stop.
So now we've got the next intersection if we carry on down French Street.
At 3 o'clock, Kitchener Street. At 6 o'clock, French Street. At 9 o'clock, Kitchener Street. At 12 o'clock, French Street.
So we can see from that that's a four-way intersection. So I can either continue down French Street, or I could turn left or right into Kitchener Street, or I could head back up French Street towards Old Cleveland Road. So we'll continue down French Street to the next street.
At 9 o'clock, Kitchener. At 12 o'clock, French Street.
Press OK.
French Street. After 110 metres, on French Street direction northwest, Western Street on the right. At 3 o'clock, Western Street. At 6 o'clock, French Street. at 12 o'clock French Street.
So we've got a similar thing there where it's giving us the layout of the intersection. So you can see how that would be useful if you just wanted to get familiar with your surroundings before you go out. If you're sitting in a motel or somewhere like that, or you've been dropped somewhere and you need to know sort of the lay of the land and you need to know whether intersections are four-way intersections or five exits roundabouts or whatever, you can have a look at the map and get familiar with your surroundings before you head out the door. So that's quite useful. The other thing that we can do is use an itinerary mode, which allows you to put in a start point and an end point for a route. And you can either do that in pedestrian or car navigation, and you can sort of step through the directions of your route before you set out. So that's quite useful as well. If you're trying to work out whether you're comfortable to attempt a route on foot, you can have a look at it before you head off, and you might look through and get halfway through looking at the directions and decide that there's a major highway and a five or six exit roundabout you have to cross. And so you might decide, you know, that you'll get public transport or something like that. So it does give you that option. Obviously, I can't take this for a walk at the moment, although I might do that at some stage, grab a recorder, some microphones, and we'll go for a wander and show you what it's like in live mode. But some of this sort of offline browsing stuff really is quite helpful when you're traveling independently and when you frequently travel in unfamiliar environments. Now, I have done some testing with this in terms of battery life, and I have run it for around about 5 hours straight in navigation mode and found that I still had about 50% battery left. Mind you, I hadn't made any phone calls. That was just using the navigation. But that's still not bad. You know, you could quite easily use that for a day traveling around and not run out of power. So it seems to be quite efficient. I've also found that it is quite accurate. So generally, it seems to be accurate to within 5 or 10 meters, which is about what you'd expect for most GPS systems these days. You know, the accuracy does alter a little bit on cloudy days, and it does alter a little bit if you're surrounded by tall buildings. But generally, I find this works quite well. The other thing that I've noticed is that unlike some of the earlier GPSs that I played with, I can still get reception inside the house. And you heard that before. It picked up a GPS signal fairly quickly inside my home studio here. It seems to log on quite quickly. Even if I haven't used it for a few days, it still seems to get signal in under a minute, which is quite good. I've been in a situation before with other products where I've stood on a street corner lost and had to wait 10 or 15 minutes for my GPS to get signal. So it's good from that point of view as well. It's also, as I described yesterday, fairly small and fairly light, so it's easy to carry around. Because it's got Bluetooth, you can pair it to a set of Bluetooth headphones. So if you use something like the Aftershocks Bluetooth headphones that use bone conduction and therefore leave your ears uncovered, that works quite well. I have tried that. Or you could just plug in a set of earbuds and just have one earbud so you could still keep an ear on the traffic. So whatever you're comfortable doing, there are plenty of options with it. If you would be interested in me taking it for a walk and seeing what it's like out on the street, as it were, more than happy to do that. Likewise, if you have any questions at all, you can email Damo, D-A-M-O, at mcmorrow.net.au, or you can leave a comment on the page where you downloaded this podcast. In future episodes, we're going to have a look at the OCR functionality and some of the other features of the phone. So I hope you'll join me then. But thanks for listening today, and bye for now.